section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
The best podcast for letting the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. On today's show, we have Aaron, Roger, and Doug to join Anders. We discuss this month's view from the turnbuckle. So, Aaron, the news. What happened after we went live?
Samoa Joe got suspended.
Have they even announced what it was yet?
No, but I mean, you know, HGH didn't test in time.
Too much stalking Wendy. I mean, yeah. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
you know, maybe
he probably found the guy. He found the guy who was dancing to his theme in Texas, got too hungover on a bender, and just he missed the test. It happens. Like, he's not normal. Like, it's gonna happen.
Yeah, I guess it could be worse, right?
Yeah, I'm surprised it was like he had like an 8 1/3 chance of passing anyway. So,
and that's before you added Kurt Angle's sample to the mix.
Yeah.
So, is this the third person who's getting a 30-day suspension? Because I think Ray and Andrade both got suspended for 30 days, too.
I don't know about Ray, but...
Ray?
Andrade,
I think Ray did. I thought Ray got suspended as well. Maybe he was hurt.
No, it's one of the, one of the brothers.
Primo or Carlito.
Primo, yeah.
Carlito's brothers.
Maybe Ocon.
Primo, Epico.
Insert. Yeah. Yeah, one of them.
One of those. I think that was because they just didn't want to leave Puerto Rico where they were already wrestling.
The colons.
Colons.
I'm surprised they didn't like pee in a cup and ship it over. Lid on this time.
They put it on ice because they're like, whoa, careful. Gotta keep the sample cold.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Or one of those like self-heating thermoses, you know? Like, you know, all right.
Couldn't
this show's
get started to the show today, guys.
Yeah.
JBL. Hall of Fame.
Well, the news is that JBL bullied Rogers, and because of that, he gets in the Hall of Fame. Roger, thoughts?
So we're going from pee to poop. Good segue, guys. we have mentioned that not everyone deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. It's okay to just not put everyone in. It's if this was the Hall of Very Mediocre, JBL absolutely belongs. JBL is not elite. He wasn't great. He wasn't the top of his game. He was a decent heel. He was a decent talker. He was a solid commentator. I don't think if there were more selective Hall of Fame that JBL would get in, but under the WWE criteria of if you ever worked for us, you have a chance to be in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, why the heck not? He did almost main event at WrestleMania, which I guess is a lot better than most people.
Question for you, Doug. For the Off the Mark Hall of Fame, JBL, we're going to the second annual one this year. What year would JBL go into our Hall of Fame?
Close to never.
Okay.
I was actually going to say, after we hit, 7,000 people, does he actually get put in the same ballot as Jinder?
What's the year Jinder goes in? Because that's probably the year he gets a chance. Oh. Like if The year before that is...
Okay. Let's cap it at 2020. So anyone who wrestles in 2021, they can't do it. But anyone past that can.
Okay.
So we'll say 100 years, right?
How about we just say when the sun explodes and is about to encompass the earth, that's when JBL gets in.
I mean, when Brooklyn Brawler gets put in, I mean,
Mikey Whipwreck.
I like
you know. So as much as we're bagging on JBL, what's kind of sad about this is he's not even close to the worst person in the Hall of Fame.
No.
Who is?
And he most certainly should be. Who's the, like Coco Beware should not be in the Hall of Fame.
Come on, like, man! Like Coco Beware, like I still
but
remember
the Big Godfather.
Barrett totally deserves
Barrett's
to be.
Fine. There's a decent amount of people in that Hall of Fame who were not legendary. Like the Godfather is not a Hall of Famer. Fun mid carder
again of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean it's just they have the bizarre celebrity wing. There's a decent amount of people who most certainly have no business in the Hall of Fame.
Pete Rose
and JBL, one of yeah.
But yeah, I mean it's JBL going to Hall of Fame. What else can you say? Meh.
Is Ron Simmons in the Hall of Fame? Please tell me Ron Simmons is already there, who actually probably should be in the Hall of Fame.
I'm pretty sure he is.
I think he went in 2 years ago. I don't think he went when we went. I think he maybe he was in 15.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he is.
he has some pretty significant achievements. He was part of, you know, APA. Like, if they'd gone as a team, I could understand that at least, because Ron Simmons was a Hall of Famer, in my opinion.
Yeah, he was the first ever black champion.
Yeah.
Quite a bit in WCW and the APA. I mean, that's something that, you know, I've seen.
Okay, 2012. Yeah.
2012.
So, yeah, that
would have been disappointing, though, in all seriousness, if he didn't. I mean, I would rather have the APA in before JBL, because APA was entertaining. But. Oh, well. So, Doug, let's talk about something big. AEW is bringing back War Games, but they're not really calling it. What's going on with that?
So, I don't remember what they're calling it. Blood and Guts, I think is what it's called.
And Coronavirus.
And Coronavirus. And so this was actually somewhat announced at the C2E2 event at the panel. Cody teased that they were going to bring back a old school style match that another company would not be happy with. And then at Revolution, they announced that it was going to be two rings, one cage. So they never said, I don't think, War Games. I think they said it's going to be war, but they're going to call it Blood and Guts.
So with it being called Blood and Guts, really WWE can't do much about this, because if they call it Blood and Guts and it's the same concept, I don't think you really can trademark that match type, because if that's the case, I think WWE has stolen everything besides Elimination Chamber. So, but yeah, Blood and Guts. I'm actually excited about that. Roger, do you think that this is going to, you think it's a good idea to kind of throw jabs at WWE by making a match that they technically own?
I mean, no one associates War Games as a WWE product. War Games was NWA. That's a horseman thing. It's like saying, like, you can't do a ladder match because the WWE had TLC back in the day. It's like, it's a, like you said, it's a concept. I have no problem with AEW doing it. My bigger problem really is that of the people in this match, I don't think they're having a War Games type feud. Like, War Games is supposed to be something that, you know, the Horsemen against Dusty Rhodes and the Legion of Doom, and it was a blood feud, and this was the one to settle the score. I mean, the Elite and the Inner Circle have battled, but this doesn't seem like a necessity. Like, if this were Cody's team versus MJF's team, okay, I understand that. They are having a blood feud. If this were, you know, I don't know, Moxley versus Jericho's team, because they've spiked each other and other stuff like that. But This is just a fun match, which is fine. But to me, War Games is supposed to be something that's either an annual event or, hey, these two teams hate each other. This needs to be contained inside the cage.
What about Dark Order versus SCU and Colt Cabana?
I mean, I would watch the Dark Order and War Games just because they have so many extra members. You could just start doing crazy stuff like throwing them off the cage. So all in on that one.
Top on or top off? What do you think?
They're going to have the top on.
I actually like it better with the top off, personally.
You could do, like, I don't know, like, because, like, to me, whenever I think of War Games, I always think of it with the top, because you're contained then. No one's escaping. You know, it's gonna be a pinfall, or, you know, you can almost say it's only a pinfall, no submission. That's what I want to see. I mean, I just want to see that. I think that's what War Games is to me.
Well, War Games was actually no pinfall, only submission.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was?
Yeah, because that was the whole thing. Yeah, the match beyond began, and the only way you could win was that you had to force someone to surrender, whether it was tap out, beat them down, but there was no pinfall, there was no disqualification, it was literally one team gives up. Like the famous spot in WCW where what's-his-name turned on the horseman after they threatened to put Flair's head in the cage, and then it revealed that Henning was part of the NWO. Like, they had to surrender, they couldn't just pin him.
I prefer pinfall on that, personally. You know, like, the surrender thing is, I don't know, it's different, but yeah, I agree with you, Andy. I'd prefer pinfall. I'm okay with either, like, sell on or are off, you know. I think that there's highlights to both. So AEW has done some fairly interesting things with some of these gimmick matches. The cage match that they had a few weeks ago with Cody and Wardlow, I like the fact that they said, unlike other companies, this is pinfall or submission in the ring. That is it. Doesn't matter if you escape the cage. Does not matter. I actually like that. I think that that's good, because I, you know, to contrast it to what we saw in NXT, you know, a week or so ago, you know, you have people crawling to get out of the cage, and some of it doesn't make sense, and then some of it does, and it's like, well, there's a door there. Like, you know, it's super easy to just crawl out a door. So I like the idea of having it contained within the cage.
All right. So WWE had a pay-per-view, if you want to call it that, or a special event. Yeah, Aaron.
I definitely don't want to call it a special event.
It was special. Aaron, what happened? Anything you want to talk about? Like, I missed the first hour and a half because I was sleeping.
I don't think you missed it.
So I saw the final thing, the final match, and I think the match before that. Yeah. So,
So the only thing to me that I thought was like really like whoa was I think it was Grand Metalik who climbed the top of the elimination chamber. Vince Dorado, sorry. You know, climbed the top and then, you know, just fell onto
shooting
the guys.
Star press.
Like, that was crazy. Like, that was absolutely crazy. And I love the fact that Otis, you know, everybody's supposed to fall, and like Otis wasn't close enough, so he like kind of stumbled a little bit. It was really funny. But that was absolutely fantastic. And then they had some other really good spots in that match too. I know, Roger, your favorite, of course, which was Otis, you know, running through the pod and going to the outside.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the tag match was actually really well done. I enjoyed Otis going through the pod. I thought it was a really cool spot. It explained Heavy Machinery's elimination. I don't think they looked weak at all because obviously Tucker was trying to win 2-on-1. I liked the match. I thought it was a really good match. My issue more so with the card was that this did not feel like a special event. This felt like some sort of weird episode of Monday Night Raw and a lot of matches that to me should have been big time matches. You know, if AJ Styles versus Aleister Black is happening on TakeOver, we're talking about as possibly a match of the year candidate. You're probably getting a much more hyped crowd as opposed to just waiting for the inevitable Undertaker interference. It just was not an impressive card. Like, and then some of the matches were decent. I actually liked Bryan versus Gulak. I thought that was really good, really enjoyable.
So what would you say everybody was your match of the night?
Aleister Black and AJ Styles was really good. I actually went back and watched that match. You know, it's kind of nice because Taker was there as well. I think maybe it was something along those lines that, you know, AJ Styles went to someone who's like, you went to Aleister Black, who you could almost say that he's dark, just like Undertaker. Like, I love that dynamic because it showed that, hey, there's a chance, you know, Aleister Black pinned him. And I would almost say it's clean at this point. Well, I guess not, but still, I just thought it was a great spot, and that was a great match. The tag elimination chamber match was definitely my number two. So, Aaron, what do you got?
Probably the tag elimination chamber. The problem I had with Black and AJ was that, like, you knew what the outcome was going to be, you know. And also, I thought, and you know, I had heard this elsewhere, but I did think about this prior, which was it was no DQ. You have the club on the outside, and I'm thinking, why aren't you guys interfering, even in the slightest? Even if it, like, you know, put your hand on the rope to, like, make them trip, you know, Aleister Black trips or something like that, you know, like, just something. Like, and then it was like, oh, no, we're going to wait till the very end, then we're going to, you know, do that. They didn't even, like, hang out in the back. Like, if they came out and then did that, that would make even more sense. They were there the entire time. It made no sense at all. And I thought it was just, like, what was the point in that, you know? You know, and it was literally just set up the Undertaker match. The thing that I thought was really fascinating about this was we do our pick'ems, and to hear, you know, I did it, I chose it first, and I see Doug typing away, and then it was like, he probably erased everything and then just wrote same. Like, yep. It was like,
that's exactly how it went.
You know, and we got everyone except for one right. You know, there were 8 matches, and the only one we got wrong was Strowman. You know, Sami Zayn ended up winning, you know, over Strowman. I figured, you know, which was kind of a bit of a shocker, you know.
That was a shock.
That was a huge shock to me. That's probably the upset of the year on pay-per-view.
Yeah. But the rest of it, it's like, okay, I know what's going to happen. There was no surprises. There was nothing that was, you know, it was very pedestrian. Watching Monday Night Raw is a little bit of a chore, and this pay-per-view kind of felt like that. And the Elimination Chamber should feel special, and it really did not.
Roger, what was your favorite one?
So if we're talking matches, I would say my favorite match was the Tag Elimination Chamber. I thought that was the best one that was put together. Though I will say I really did enjoy the tag match that Andy mentioned, plus the opening match with Bryan and Gulag. I will say, though, if we're talking moment of the night, it was definitely watching Shayna Baszler murder Liv Morgan. That was one of the more brutal spots I've seen in a women's match and really established her as a Stone Cold killer. But to Aaron's point, I had said it earlier, it felt like watching Raw. This didn't feel special. That's a shame because there were some really talented performers on this, but it just wasn't a well-booked card. It wasn't well advertised. I didn't feel like this mattered.
Yeah, I thought for the most part, too, that this really felt like another Raw with a special match of the Elimination Chamber. But my match of the night went to a match that really felt like even almost a heat kind of a match of Gulak versus Bryan, because Bryan just put so much of an effort in it. I mean, he truly went balls out in that match.
And that was on the kickoff, right?
No, that was during the pay-per-view.
First hour, right? Darn it. I missed it. Now I have to go back and watch that. Anyways.
Definitely do. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
It was, yeah.
Okay.
Daniel Bryan, wow.
He made Gulak look much more over than they really have done for the rest of his tenure and probably will do for the rest of his tenure. Mm-hmm. He looked like he belonged in the ring with Daniel.
Wow. That's kind of like AJ. Like, you can't have a bad match against AJ Styles, right? Like, he'll carry any one of us to at least a 3-star.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sweet. Speaking of talking about stars and when we rank wrestling matches with stars, I screwed that up. Anyways, AEW Bucks versus Hangman and Page. Aaron, you and Doug went there. Was this match of the night? And is it really 6 stars?
6 stars, no. I would put this at like 4.5. I thought it was a really good match. This was easily the best tag match I've ever seen. Not the best match I've ever seen live, you know, but like top 5, probably. You know, we've had the luxury of seeing a number of really great matches together, which I love. I love the fact that we've been able to do that. This match was so good. And the storytelling they did was also phenomenal, especially during the match and then at the end. When you see Hangman kind of pull the ropes like he's going to give a buckshot lariat to Omega, and then he doesn't. And it's just like, oh, this is kind of cool, you know? And I don't watch Being the Elite. I don't watch AEW Dark. You know, I'm only watching AEW. That's what I'm watching. That's where I should be able to get all the information. The other stuff should be supplemental. And I felt like I got what I needed out of that pay-per-view and then what I needed on AEW the next night. And then, you know, where I should say in a few nights and then the week after that, which I think is what you want to do. 6 stars, no. Good match. Yeah, great match, I would say, probably. You know, probably going to be match of the year for me, unless something else tops it, you know, in the next few months.
I'll say from my standpoint, I do watch Being the Elite. I do watch Dark. So for me, the feud, I guess, between the Young Bucks and Hangman Page was so much more. And I think that's why, for me, I would completely agree with it being a 6-star match or even more. Because everything was set up to be that. The flat out feud between those two was amazing. And then to have Dynamite come along and have Page get the save for Cody, but then still flip off Matt Jackson was actually rather excellent.
Yeah, I thought the show itself was pretty good. From, you know, watching at home, it was different story than being there live. I mean, you guys had, from the photos I saw, you guys had some pretty good seats there. So where were you guys sitting there?
So we were sitting in a corner, almost similar to where you guys sat for Survivor Series.
Okay.
We were first row on the 100 level. I didn't ever see us really too good in the crowd when I rewatched it, but we had great seats. Worked out really well for my injured knee that I had an aisle seat that I could keep my leg out. But it was actually really funny. We had Sammy Guevara around right in front of us when he enters into the match. So that was pretty neat. The security guard in front of us even thought that that was a fan. So she was about to go after him. That would have been kind of neat too.
Nice. So I'm happy you guys got to go. That's awesome. So was there anything that you guys saw there that probably didn't happen on TV or didn't appear on TV?
Not necessarily appear, but listen to. I rewatched definitely during the Sammy Guevara versus God, it was one of the matches.
Cody, Darby Allin.
Darby Allin. There was a guy about maybe 6 or 7 rows behind us that just kept yelling "Spanish Fly, Sammy, Spanish Fly," and it really reminds me of the Super Dragon person.
Super Dragon.
Yeah, Doug said that to me, and I just, because I was just like, dude, shut up! Like, he's just "Spanish Fly, Sammy, Spanish Fly." And like, there was somebody sitting next to us who has special needs, and I like we both were like, is that guy behind us also special needs? Like, and that's why he's yelling it. Like, that's kind of what we thought. Like, we honestly did. And then he did the Spanish fly, and then he was like, aah! And then he cheered for it, or then he asked for it again. And I was just like, ah, dude, you're either, you know, special needs or you're trying to get yourself over and you're annoying everybody in the crowd.
He's trying to get himself over and fails.
Yeah. So one of the other matches was MJF and Cody. Andy, you had a chance to see this, you know, on pay-per-view. Roger, you did as well. So Andy, I want to ask you, how did that come off seeing it on TV?
I was hoping that tattoo was fake is what I was really thinking the entire time. That's all I thought about. I was like, oh, I'm like, well, this might happen. I'm like, that has to be fake. That's all I kept thinking about. Like, I could, this is horrible to say, but I almost didn't care about the match because I was trying to figure out, is that tattoo real? Which I don't think you should be doing, but yeah, I mean, it happened. It was good. I thought that maybe they could have, I don't know. I thought that I wish it would have ended differently, but I still think that MJF was the one who needed to win in this case. Cause all it's going to do is make him, more powerful.
Right. It's interesting. On the one hand, I was very impressed with MJF. Like, all the things that we talked about is a heel and him getting it and knowing how to really be a dick, to be quite honest. He understands. Like, he's good at being an irritant. He understands how to tick off the crowd. He plays his character to a T. The match was okay. I don't think it was a great match. I had a couple issues with, like, Brandi Rhodes. I don't like her involvement in this match in the slightest. I have never liked the Nightmare Collective. Is she Zelina Vega and is she the heel? Because at one point she runs and jumps off the ropes and Wardlow catches her and Cody's like, put her down. I'm like, yeah, but your wife got involved. Like, it wasn't like she, like, they didn't do anything to justify her involvement other than her just being the Brandi Rhodes that we used to see when Cody was a heel. So that was kind of annoying. The finish was okay. I don't know if I love the, I think it was like a double crossroads and then he hit him with the diamond or something like that. So it was like, eh. Also, you know, look, we know that Cody was betrayed and can't be challenging for the championship. So why the heck does he care if he gets disqualified? He should be trying to beat the life out of MJF for what he did to him. So when he grabbed that belt and was getting revenge, he should have been whipping him and whipping him and whipping him until the point that a referee pulled that thing out of his hands. I didn't like him stopping and treating this like a normal match. I would have done without the interference and then had somebody run down. I would have gotten rid of Brandy. I would have gotten rid of Wardlow. I would have gotten rid of Arn Anderson. This should have been one guy versus one guy, Cody trying to get revenge on MJF. I think the result was the right. I just think this match could have been better. Like, I don't know. Like, to me, if I'm Cody Rhodes, I'm rushing the ring and I'm charging him. I'm going after him, trying to kill him. And it seemed like a standard match, whereas like Darby Allin, who's not necessarily in a blood feud, dove out and went right after Sammy. Like, he started that match with a bang. And I was like, whoa, that was awesome. I had to rewind it. But I kind of just, it felt like I was waiting for this match to get going and get started. And it wasn't a bad match. It just was like, this didn't really seem to be what I wanted. So I hope to kind of go apart for a while and maybe come back down the road to this, maybe in a year or two. But I don't necessarily want to see a rematch of this, let alone two more matches.
I was going to say Darby and Sammy was a kind of a blood feud, though, because storyline wise, Sammy with the skateboard to Darby took him out for, quote unquote, a month.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely a feud behind it. But, you know, like the MJF Cody thing was, you know, he's
definitely.
Yeah, you know, cost him the championship, stabbed him in the back. That was much closer to a betrayal of trust issues than like Sammy was just being a typical heel and took him out, you know. But I'm not taking anything away. That opening match was fantastic. I just wanted more fight out of the two of them. And I was fine with the way, actually, to be fair. I was more fine with MJF. I was kind of just disappointed, I guess, in the way they booked Cody. I find his wife unbelievably annoying. If she's a face or not, then stop interfering like you're a heel manager. Yeah.
That's the thing, too. They at C2E2, they announced the new action figure line, right? Which is
no,
great.
They did that at Toy Fair.
Oh, I'm sorry, at Toy Fair. You're right. Correct me if I'm wrong then, Doug. Brandi Rhodes is the only female that they announced, correct?
I believe so.
Okay. I'm going to just go out on a limb. All right. This is a hot take, but I'm going to guess that the only reason that she was announced as that is because she's married to Cody. Just hot take, hot take. And it's probably going to be the lowest selling action figure. Another hot take.
Yeah, we'll see.
Actually, yeah. I think you're going to be wrong on that, Aaron, because I think that they're going to plan on that. So what they're going to do is they're not going to have as many of them of her made. So it's limited. Mm-hmm. That's what they're going to do.
Can we limit her involvement in matches?
And I like her. That's the thing. I like Brandy. I think she has the look. She has the presence. She's good on the mic. But just like Nightmare Collective, heel. I'm with Cody and I'm a face. Like, you know, pick a lane and yep. stay in it. You know, like that's mm-hmm. what you have to do. Otherwise, like I'm confused and I can't watch, you know, six different shows to figure out what is going on, you know, with you. Like, I don't know. I don't know if they've kept up with the, you know, Nightmare Collective storyline elsewhere.
They've kind of fallen away from it because even though the one, I can't even remember her name, but the girl that shaved her head is now wrestling as somebody, not somebody else, but not as part of the Nightmare Collective anymore.
It's strange. Very strange.
It is.
It can be. So let's talk about the main event. Roger, did you think that this was the time? This was the time for formerly known as Dean Ambrose, Jon Moxley to defeat Jericho for the championship?
Yes, I think this was the right time. I think this has been built up from the moment Moxley arrived and attacked both Omega and Jericho. So I have no problem with this. Partially, too, if Jericho had won, I'm not really sure who he goes on to challenge. Whereas if Moxley wins, and he did, you've got MJF in the title picture. You've got Pac in the title picture. You've got Hager potentially in the title picture. You know, there's much more. You have a rematch with Omega because that match technically never happened. You know, the Hangman Page, should he turn heel? There's more to do with Mox as champion. I think Jericho is the right choice as first champion, but I think he had accomplished what he needed to with his reign. I'm glad Moxley won. I was also a little disappointed in this match. Crowd seemed a little bit dead up until there was a really good spot that Aubrey Edwards did where she kind of did the wind up and the ejection. And I really thought that got the crowd going. But this didn't hit that second gear like I kind of expected. It wasn't bad. I'm still a little bit confused on the reveal that Moxley could see because I'm not sure what advantage he gained then by putting the eye patch on. That seemed a little strange to me.
Oh, again, you mean when he got his other eye poked out too and then really couldn't see?
Yeah.
But he was still wearing the eye patch?
Yeah. So I was like, could you not see the whole time? Or like, did you intentionally impair your vision? Because that doesn't seem like a good deception if you're tricking the opponent by not being able to see.
I think that goes into the character, though, that he's crazy enough to do something like that.
It does, but that seems like something you do in a run-in. That doesn't seem like something you do in a world title match. It's not bad, per se. It just seemed more illogical to me, and I don't know that they really played off that he gained anything. Like, had he been countering moves all night, you're like, he's got like that's weird. Moxley can't see out of that eye, yet he's somehow able to avoid from that side. Then they would have built to it. But there was nothing about the match from a storytelling perspective that seemed like him revealing that changed anything. So I don't know. I kind of rather just been he had been spiked and he overcame the odds. That was fine to me. And I think it was the right choice. I think it was a fine match. I don't think it was a great match, but I think it was fine. And right guy won. No problem with that at all for me.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think this was the I don't know if this was match of the night, but this was one thing I did not expect to happen. But overall, what a way to see it end, especially a show that both Aaron and Doug went to. So Doug, what'd you think about this match? Did you think, how was the crowd afterwards? And like, did everyone realize that Jericho was definitely going to drop it?
I don't know. I think there was a mixed crowd aspect of it. I thought it was going to be a little bit more positive towards Moxley, but there was still the Jericho aspect. Entrances were what they were. It was kind of neat to see the choir come out and sing Jericho's Judas, but not necessary, I guess. I don't know. But it was neat. It was not match of the night for me because there will be nothing that overcomes that tag match because for me that was the complete match of technical wrestling with also a storyline behind it. This was a good match, probably maybe about a 4-star match, I think. It was a little bit, I think it could have been a little bit better had there been a little bit more balance in that aspect of Moxley fighting off the whole inner circle. So kind of makes him a little bit OP that he could overcome the whole inner circle interfering without any assistance from outside. Not that he needed it, but it was I think it would have been a little bit more believable if you would have had like the Jurassic Express come out or somebody else come out and that hates the inner circle too, and just kind of keep a couple of them off of Moxley. But
or maybe
it is what it is. It was still a good match. What's that?
I was gonna say, or maybe someone comes out kind of looking like a Matt Hardy, and then
he is going to be saved for a date to be named later.
Hey, can we talk about entrances, by the way, before we move on? Because I loved Jericho's entrance. I thought his choir was fantastic. It was totally unnecessary. Like, I agree with Doug on that point, but I just think it was awesome. It was one of those things that, like, this is totally ridiculous and really serves no purpose. Like, it's not like a choir made sense, but it was awesome. I want the choir version of Judas on my phone. I will wash my hands to that. It's fantastic.
You'll wash your hands to that?
Absolutely. Well, because the chorus is 20 seconds. Yeah. You can absolutely sing Judas is My Life. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, when we're talking about entrances, there was Cody's entrance. What the hell was that crap?
So that lot was way better live than it was watching the replay of it.
It sounded horrible.
Yeah, they definitely had some audio issues on the in the aspect of putting it to the pay-per-view. Because live, I thought it was actually, you know, it was neat. It was interesting. Again, something I don't necessarily needed, but it was a lot better live than it was watching the replay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was Steve Amell doing out there by chance? I feel like I saw him enter and just leave.
Yeah.
He was wearing the, I guess, the Cody brand. He was wearing the tattoo.
Nightmare Family?
Yeah. I guess you call them sweatsuits, I guess, maybe. I don't know.
Tracksuit.
I mean, they've always been friends, and I was, you know, I kind of called it beforehand because as soon as they announced that he was going to C2E2, and I was like, yeah, he'll definitely be on the show. I was kind of expecting him to make a little bit of a run in that match, because they had, I mean, they fought before. They fought, it was in the E. It was Stardust versus Stephen Amell. I can't remember what pay-per-view it was, but they fought before, but they're really good friends, and I completely expected him to come out. I thought he was going to do a little bit more than just walk out and then leave. But hey, why not? They could have made it a what is the lumberjack match with all the people that he came out with.
Yeah, actually, that would have been kind of funny.
Yeah, I would say all in all, it was a really good pay-per-view. It was really cool to be able to see AEW, and the fan energy there was really great. It did feel kind of like a takeover. You know, obviously we've been to a number of them now, and that's kind of the way it felt. People were into it. Chance, people were excited about everything that was going on. It was definitely different than going to a Raw or a SmackDown. Like, Roger, I know we went through to quite a few of them, but it was something I'm very glad that we had a chance to do. And, you know, I mean, they come out here again, you know, I would definitely go.
Good. I'm glad you guys had a good time out there. The arena, it was a smaller one. Was it like 9,000 people it holds?
I'm not sure exactly how much it holds. Wintrust is not a very big arena, no.
Well, it actually looked like it was it was bigger, and then I was like, wait a minute, they're in the burbs, right? Was it where's it at?
No, it's downtown.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, oh, it's right next to McCormick Place. It's actually connected to McCormick Place.
Oh, I was thinking it was.
But they didn't run. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I thought it was where, when they did All In. I thought it was at that place.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
That was in Hoffman Estates, or next to Schaumburg.
All right. Yep. Okay, so let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster? You're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click strip to salts, or free time builder, hands-down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo and see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WShop.com. It's happening again. We now are having our second annual Off the Mark Hall of Fame. What are the rules, Aaron?
All right. So the rules are we each are going to nominate one person. We are going to go in order of who won our pick'ems. And so it's actually the exact same as last year, which is Doug, myself, Roger, and then Andy. What we are planning on doing, especially for the future, right now it's, you know, for the most part going to be fairly, no one's going to have an issue with, but in the future it's going to be three or four people have to agree to that. So if two people say no, then we're going to move on to the next person. They can nominate somebody else again. Nominations mostly based on their contributions inside the ring. So we're going to focus on the in-ring work as opposed to extracurriculars. Hence why last year, like, I nominated Hulk Hogan despite, you know, his stuff. And as Roger had pointed out last year too, he nominated Shawn Michaels and he's like, well, you know, his out of the ring stuff wasn't also that great either, you know, for a time.
I mean, so he was nowhere near the level of Hogan. Let's be very clear. About
yes.
That. he didn't have a lot of sunny days though. We know that.
Lots of sunny days.
Yeah. So factions and tag teams. So we're not going to introduce factions. So you're not going to see the NWO nominated. Hulk Hogan's in. So you can put in Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, you know, who rightfully should go in at some point in time, right? Tag teams, we were actually discussing this a little bit today. If they are a true tag team, then that's somebody that would go in. So, for example, the Dudley Boys, they are a tag team. You know, the Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors, they are a tag team. But you're not going to put like the Von Erickson. You know, you would put Kerry Von Erickson, and then you would put, you know, his brothers after that. So that's kind of the rules. That's what we want to go with right now. If you chose to put in like Kofi Kingston, you know, and then you put in the New Day, essentially you're saying, well, I'm putting in the final two members. Kofi is just a one-timer sort of thing. So anyway, getting a little bit long in the tooth to go over the nominees. Andy, who did we put in last year?
All right, last year, Doug nominated Randy Savage. Aaron went with Hulk Hogan. Roger went with Shawn Michaels. I went with Sting. Doug went with Bret Hart. Aaron went with Ric Flair. Roger went with Stone Cold Steve Austin. I went with Andre the Giant.
So, Doug, you have the honor of putting in the ninth person into the Off the Mark Hall of Fame. Who are you picking and why?
So one of my big things too is I think Hall of Famers should be retired. I don't think they should be coming back anytime soon. But I'm kind of going against it this year. This is a person that possibly could come back, but he hasn't been in the ring for a long time. I'm going with the great one, The Rock.
The Rock says no rule.
great one. He actually was going to be my number two. So for who I was going to nominate, I did a top 10 and I figured, you know, somebody's probably going to nominate one or two of them. Obviously went with The Rock, which I think is a great pick. I am picking, and like I said, it's mostly in ring, but it's also, you know, what they do a little bit behind the scenes too. And I think I think this one is incredibly justified, and I'm going with Vince McMahon.
Wow.
All right. I wasn't thinking about a promoter, but
I feel like we definitely have to have that conversation some point down the road.
Well, so,
are we going into discussion right now?
So
I feel like we kind of should go into discussion at this point, because Aaron, of all people, threw a hissy fit when we focused on people. It's not about in-ring. It's about other stuff. Well, that's not fair. Like, you have to only focus on in-ring. Like, you don't. Last time I checked, no WWE Hall of Fame has a promoter in it. Vince isn't even in his own Hall of Fame. Like,
well, of course he's not. He doesn't put himself in there, but.
Are we talking senior? Because senior is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Senior is in the Hall of Fame. But most certainly he was talking about Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Kennedy.
Yeah.
If you think about everything that Vince has done in the wrestling.
He did defeat
business,
God, though, didn't he?
Yes, he has. He actually has wrestled inside the ring. He was the antagonist for Stone Cold Steve Austin. Everything that he did in the 90s, I think, you know, definitely justifies it. And of course, you know, he has built the biggest wrestling company in the world.
I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve to go in. I just think there's a lot more people worthy of being in before him.
Oh, I have a big list. I have a big list. So, but Vince McMahon was the one that I thought, like, out of all these people, you know, of course, they wouldn't be there without Vince. And so I think that Vince is. I think he deserves being there.
All right. I'm going to go with the,
is it your pick?
Roger's turn. My bad. I'm sorry, Roger.
Can I nominate someone to remove from the Hall of Fame on principle?
Yes, you can.
Use your pick to eliminate.
Yeah.
Someone.
I want to use my pick to remove a Hall of Fame nominee. Yeah, no, that's really hilarious. I just want to, like, can we play back his entire last week about how
wrestler of the decade wrestler.
Yeah. Is this not a wrestling Hall of Fame? Like, but pretty sure. Vince, are there any promoters in the WWE Hall of Fame? Just out of curiosity.
Nomination is based mostly on their contribution inside the ring.
Yeah.
Ooh, who wrote that?
I did. Yeah. And his contribution inside the ring was actually, you would not have Stone Cold without Vince.
Again, not disagreeing with you, but again, based on what you yourself said last time we podcast, you were breaking your own rules.
I'm not breaking my own rules.
No, you most certainly are, because you were saying
that was the Decade Awards. Here, this is the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, let's do this.
Different things.
Aaron, if you were actually following the rules, who would be your second choice? How about we go there, since we just know that Vince is not really an
interview. You're gonna know my second choice when I get to it.
Well, yeah, that's why I'm asking you now. I'm just looking for a legitimate choice, not a bastardized version of, you know, what we call a wrestler.
So you want Vince to be my the 14th pick then?
I think he should. Okay. Well, it's really adorable that you went with Vince, actually, because I also have a good choice. He's a very accomplished wrestler. He is a man who's part of one of the greatest stables of all time. He is a former Royal Rumble winner. He's a former King of the Ring. He is, without a doubt, the wrestler of the decade. Now that Aaron is on board with putting promoters, and apparently in-ring contributions are not the only thing, I present to you the second founding member, the leader and founder of NXT, and now, without a case at all against him, Hunter Hearst Helmsley joins his Degeneration X member Shawn Michaels in the Hall of Fame.
See, he's and I'm not mad about that.
You have not a leg to stand on. If I was Owen Hart, I'd kick your leg out from your leg because you don't have.
Here's the thing. I think that's deservedly so, because it's a wrestling Hall of Fame, and his wrestling contributions in the 90s and in the 2000s and in the 2010s rightfully deserves to be in there.
All right.
I mean, obviously the 2010s. He's the wrestler of the 2010s. Like, that's silly.
Yeah, the five matches he was in the 2010s. Yeah, fantastic.
They were. 5 out of 5 is still 100%.
Yeah.
Didn't he win at least 4 of those?
I mean, well,
one,
that match was Sting.
One against Sting.
Whew. I mean, if he beat another fellow Hall of Famer, as Ric Flair says, to be the man, you have to beat the man, and he beat the man, and therefore that makes him the man and allows him to be the wrestler of the decade.
But he did lose to the number 2 Hall of Fame inductee. He lost the title to him, actually.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
That promotion doesn't exist anymore, so we don't have to count that. It's fine.
WWE doesn't?
WWF is still when they had it. It had not switched to the E yet.
Oh, they didn't? Okay.
They did not get the F out yet.
And the 12th person to go into the Off the Mark Hall of Fame goes to Bruno San.
Finally, somebody takes somebody off my list.
Martino.
I was wondering when Bruno was going to go, because none of us watched Bruno live.
Nah, he needed to come in at some point. It's one of those things like Andre the Giant. Sting, like Triple H, were eventually going to get in. We just didn't know when.
We watched them. Like, I knew that we were going to get Andre because we all remember the moment with Hogan from 3. I knew we were going to get Sting because, like, I was curious just in the sense of, like, none of us have any memories of watching Bruno win or lose the title. So, and it, you know, recency bias is a very real thing. Obviously, our ages are going to impact the memories that we have and things like that. But I think Bruno's most certainly worthy of being a Hall of Famer. I was just curious when he would get there.
All right, so before Doug goes, I think this might be fun to do. So, Roger, I'm going to let you guess who I'm going to pick next. Doug, I want to guess who you're going to pick. I'm going to guess Roddy Piper.
He is on my list, but he's not the next one on my list.
Who's the next on your list?
Out of the 8 people that I had selected and ready for this show, so far only one other person has been taken. I had Bruno on there, but he was a little bit lower on mine. I have Kurt Angle as the number 2 person on my list.
Oh, wow.
You'll hear no questions from me. Kurt Angle most certainly deserves it.
I have him a little bit further down, but you know what? Now that you kind of say it, I actually probably would put him above a couple of these people that I have on there.
Like a Vince McMahon or a Triple H?
Above Triple H for sure. Yeah. You know,
because he has way above Olympic McMahon. He's actually on the list.
Olympic gold medalist, you know. I mean, for sure. Roger.
Put in Shane McMahon, just out of curiosity.
Put in who?
That's what his next pick is. His next pick, Shane McMahon. The greatest wrestler in the world.
Best in the world. Yeah.
Roger, who do you think my next pick is?
I'm going to go with the best in the world. I think you're going the Chicago native.
No.
I actually think you're going with Chris Jericho.
I'm actually not. I'll tell you who Aaron's going with. He's going with
AJ Styles.
Nope. He is going for the female wrestler of 2019. Come on, Aaron, say your name. Who is it? It's not.
It's Michelle McCool's husband is who I'm going to go with.
Okay. Oh. And why did you pick Undertaker? Because I don't recall him running any promotions, so I'm just curious on this one.
So Undertaker, the longevity that he has had inside the ring, the fact that he has wrestled, you know, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, 2020s now, you know, he is still a huge attraction. If he comes out, it is a huge surprise, no matter when. And the matches that he has put on, I mean, he, you know, the best match of the 2000s was him and Shawn Michaels. And they did that match twice. You know, they are using him as the measuring stick. You look at the 2010s and how, you know, that made Brock was already a superstar, but that just kind of put him to that next level of that final boss.
He's still putting out classics like him versus Goldberg.
Amazing match for sure. He's got a match with AJ Styles coming up. I'm actually very interested in seeing how that goes. I really am, because AJ Styles is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. And so to see what he might be able to do with a, you know, 50-year-old Undertaker, I think it could be really good. So Undertaker is my next Hall of Fame inductee.
Oh, no, Taker was my next choice. I absolutely was going to pick him, because not only do I think he's the greatest thing that Vince McMahon actually can take credit for. He is a fantastic character. He has endured. Like, wrestling has shifted away from the silly characters, and yet Undertaker still resonates with everyone. When he showed up in Everett, it was a big deal. When he shows up, it's fun. That gong hits, you know, something important is happening. When we talked about greatest moments of the decade, the night his streak ended was what I went with, because he is such an important figure. I'm actually going to go a little bit different, because I know we're focusing all on the main eventers and top tier guys. I wanted to add, I think there is something a little bit more than just men's wrestling, and I want to go women's wrestling. And to me, the first great pushed women's wrestler we had in WWE was Trish Stratus, and I want to go with her. Because I think a lot of what we see now probably doesn't happen without her and Lita, and I can't put in two people, but I think those two legitimately, unlike Stephanie, unlike the Bellas, unlike those divas, at one point, Trish Stratus was the most important part of Raw, and she was by far the best character. About that 03-04, when Triple H's Reign of Terror was not the greatest thing in the world, she was legitimately the MVP. So I think she deserved in there 100%.
All right. Doug, who do you think I'm picking for 16?
Well, I know you're picking, so.
AJ Lee.
No.
CM Punk.
I swear to God, if you pick Miz, I'm leaving.
But this person needed to be number 16 for a reason, because that's how many times he's won a world championship. Aaron, who is this person?
16.
John Cena.
Yep.
The brand new children's author. Yes. John Cena.
I'm done with you.
Yeah. And you know what?
And here's the thing.
Does he deserve it? Yeah. I would say he does.
Ring work? Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't think yet, but.
Not his ring work. Everything else, you know, great TV for being an idiot. Doing, you know, he did all the stuff for Make-A-Wish. Like, how many times has he done that? I mean, this, you know.
Go back to rule number three. Nomination is based mostly on their contribution inside the ring.
Mostly.
But mostly.
But the thing
no,
is,
no, no, no. I'm not saying that John Cena doesn't get in. But.
I look at, okay, now this is going to be the weird part. I look at Hogan and him at like the same level. And I think The Rock is above them. But Hogan was just he's a piece of crap. So then you have the next person, which I think is John Cena, where you don't really hear any negative things except for a couple of wrestlers who were, you know, didn't like him. But other than that, you don't hear anything else bad about him. So I think that people still will. I mean, you can see it ratings bumps whenever he comes back to TV. So people still want to see him. I think now, like, if you look at the 16 people we have on there, easily, besides one of them, could have a match. It would be something that everyone would want to see. Like, if that was, if all these people were alive, and sorry, but we'll take Trish Stratus out of the way, and then just have the rest of them.
No. Let's see that. I want to see the final shuffle.
I do too.
Trish Stratus.
Yes.
Okay. How about we do this? We'll just throw Lita in there, and then every one of these, if everyone here on this list was wrestling at a show tomorrow, it would sell out. If it could hold like 125,000 people, it would. I wouldn't even.
That would be, Vince be booking it, or is he actually wrestling in it?
He's wrestled Cena before.
I mean,
he has.
Probably.
I mean, I don't think he has.
I mean, Stone Cold is going to have to wrestle him. I mean,
he's wrestled lots of people like randomly because, you know, to help put them over, of course.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not against Cena. I think it's very interesting how we'll look at his career because he was the big fish. And I don't want to say WWE was a small pond, but it was like, look, he never achieved the heights that Hogan did in the 80s, that Rock and Austin did in the 90s. Even though he was the guy, he was never like he's not on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling. Like,
oh,
he's just not.
I don't think he is. No, I wouldn't even put him on like the third batch. I just thought that.
Yeah.
When you got to that point, you got to think merchandise sales as well. Things outside the ring that he's done with. I mean, he goes in the ring. Yeah, it's very, I don't want to say Bret Hart-ish, but it's better than Hogan, you know, by far, which, you know, he can't wrestle. But yeah, so I still think that I wanted to put him in now because I think that eventually, I think he's one of those people that I think years after the fact, I think we'll see the impact that he put into wrestling. And I guess that some people will never, maybe some people will see it, some people will don't, but I think Vince sees it, and I think Triple H sees it as well. Also, you know, he says the same thing about Batista, but that's because, you know, they're buddies.
Yeah, and I just real quick, I will say that Mr. McMahon's third to last match was against John Cena, where he defeated them in a no DQ handicap gauntlet match. Prior to that, though, they actually did wrestle one-on-one on a Raw back in 06, where Cena defeated him by DQ.
Right. But, yeah, so our Hall of Fame, we have 16 people in there so far. Eventually, we'll be able to... I think that we should put a wild card where...
Never again say wild card when talking about WWE or wrestling. Just don't.
Well, I was thinking, if you could remove one person, but you can't put anyone in the Hall of Fame, would you do it? I'm talking to you, Roger, actually. I know, Aaron. I just want to know.
Put gender in and you'll find out.
No. Here's the thing. Roger is just very surprised because of the conversation we had last time, which was about, you know, it was a Wrestler of the Decade Award, you know? And then it sounds like I broke kind of what I was saying, you know?
That sounds like. Most certainly did so.
And my thought on the whole thing was, I look at somebody's contribution, it's mostly in the ring, but you also do have to factor in everything that that person has done just in general wrestling business. And for me, when I look at that, I go, Vince McMahon, you know, like he has done so much for the wrestling business and pulling up his, the fights that he's had, you know, I mean, most recently back in 2007, he defeated Roger's pick, you know, he actually defeated him twice in a row, which is really great.
Can we be
honest?
And two. Vince would get in regardless of his in-ring contributions, but that is irrelevant. My argument isn't that Vince's out-of-ring contributions don't belong. My argument is that you had no right to be the person to put him in. That's really what the crux of my argument is that would I put him in this year?
Yeah.
No, I would not have put him in this year, but he would have been, he was on my list. Like, had you guys taken my first four picks? Yeah, he would have been next.
Oh, okay.
Because he is one of the greatest, I don't even think he's a great promoter. I don't think he's a great booker. I think he's a great promoter. Like, that is always what Vince has been. He stumbled into Hogan, in my opinion. He stumbled into Austin and he tried to butcher Rock, and Rock was so good that they couldn't bluff it. But when he gets his guy, my God, can he absolutely market them to the moon? He is better than anyone has ever shown to be able to do that. So I think Vince belongs in. His credentials are, in my opinion, he's on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling. It's just hilarious to hear you put him in, considering how adamant you were that you have to be in ring for to be eligible, because his in-ring credentials by themselves in no way, shape, or form are worthy of a Hall of Fame career. If you took out everything that he did, then he is a former WWE champion. He is a former ECW champion. I would also like to point out that Jinder Mahal is a former WWE champion. That is not a ticket to Hall of Fame status.
Jinder never won the ECW title, and you got to be both to be put in there.
Okay. Wow. Well, I guess that's all the time we have for this month's show. If you're into Twitter, you follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Roger Cave, Doug Hahn, and Aaron Hughes, I'm Andrew Hughes. And until next time, see you in the ring.